Hello, this is Chuck Solomon, and welcome to the Candidate Experience Podcast, where we focus on the job candidate journey from apply to onboard and the space in between. Let's get started.
Your teams are working so hard. You have your job descriptions. You're looking for the candidates. You want them to apply, and you see more than half of them are dropping. Well, you got to fix it.
You care about the candidate experience, but have you ever wondered exactly how to bring your company to that next level and offer a world-class experience to your candidates? It's not easy. Fortunately, Candidate.fyi can help. Their solution guides candidates through your hiring journey, enhancing transparency and communication at every touch point. You'll also gain valuable insights on what's working and what's not with your hiring process. Best of all, it integrates directly with your ATS. Head on over to candidate.fyi and see how to transform your company's candidate experience today. Welcome to the elevator pitch episode where Victoria Myers, Global Head of Talent Attraction at Amdocs, is my special guest. Victoria shares her insights on how her team is improving candidate experience, and we cover a number of important topics, including candidate engagement, personas, talent communities, and even applaud the world champion Texas Rangers. Enjoy. Hey, Victoria, how are you today?
Hi, Chuck. I'm great. Thank you.
Can you please tell listeners a little bit about yourself and your company and your role at the company?
Sure. And thank you for the opportunity to share a little bit about my story.
Sure.
I have more than 20 years in recruiting and talent acquisition. Way back when, and after 20 years, you don't count after that. It tells your age. But way back when, I started off in the agency side of recruiting, and I did a split desk of sales and recruiting. And then basically just kind of really felt that I liked the recruiting side of life more. I felt like it met an internal need of mine that I wanted to help people, and I felt like I was helping people find jobs. So that was very rewarding for me. So I just continued that path. And then when I joined Amdocs, about 4.5 years ago, I joined as the North America Talent Acquisition Manager, and I was leading the strategy and the team specific to filling all the open positions in North America. After about 1.5 years, I had the opportunity to then move into a director level role, which is the regional lead over Americas. And for us, that means now managing the North America team as well as the Central and Latin America teams.
Sure.
And I had managers who reported to me, and then they had teams. There was a whole structure to it. Then we really went on a quest of, this would have been at the end of 2021, early 2022, of thinking through, how do we want to grow as a company? How do we want to grow within talent acquisition? So I led a little project team thinking through talent attraction and where are we today and where do we want to be in the future, and what are the pain points and the gaps. And through that, we made a lot of recommendations of how we wanted to improve. And that really stemmed into us launching into some transformational work. Not just me, but all of HR, we started a transformational project, which we call Harmony.
Mm-hmm.
And through that, I had the opportunity then to move into my current role, which is the Global Head of Talent Attraction. This role focuses on spearheading proactive sourcing initiatives through the implementation of a CRM. And mm-hmm. we also use that CRM to do campaigning, email campaigns with talent communities that are very segmented by personas. And we aim at amplifying the appeal of the Amdocs brand. We want to engage the candidates with us, regardless if there's an open position or not. So this team is focused on candidate engagement, and it's not about, hey, I have a position to fill. So it's very unique and different in that regard. And to share, you had asked a little bit about who Amdocs is. So We're a global technology company. We've been in business for over 40 years. We're considered innovators in the technology and media industries, as well as at the forefront of helping our customers with digital transformations. Since we're a business to business, the average consumer doesn't really know who we are. A lot of people say, who's Amdocs? But you actually use our services every day because our platforms and technologies are part of the largest telecom and media companies globally. So when I say that, think you get your cell phone bill from AT&T or T-Mobile or whomever. That billing platform is often something Amdocs developed, the billing platform behind the scenes.
Gotcha.
Or think streaming services. So some of those type of streaming services are also something Amdocs developed.
So you have laid out like the infrastructure behind the scenes to help other companies deliver, like in the examples you gave, billing and then, you know, streaming's everywhere, it seems these days.
And it's not the services themselves, it's more that user interface. So how you're selecting, you know, which movie or TV show to watch on that streaming platform. Some of those are was something Amdocs developed. So pretty cool.
Yeah, that is. I'm assuming that you're hiring like a lot of technology folks.
Correct. I would say probably about 80, 85% of all the hiring globally is in technology. But we do the hiring for all of the companies. So, you know, if there's corporate roles, HR, finance, what have you, we support all of that as well. And executive.
Yeah. And I forgot to ask you, where are you located?
I live in a little town in Texas called Melissa, Texas. But the office nearby is in Plano, so about a 30-minute drive.
Gotcha. We're recording this on November the 3rd, and I'm pretty sure that there's a big parade today for the Texas Rangers winning the World Series. So I'm not sure if you're going to be along the parade route watching.
No, I'm sure that's way, way far away. Well, the traffic won't even bother me.
Well, congrats to the Rangers winning the World Series.
Hey, this was the first time for the Rangers. It's pretty exciting.
Yeah, they've been around forever. And I'm a Boston Red Sox fan. And it was forever between when they won their World Series. But yeah, the Rangers, I think, have been around for like 50 years, 60 years or something. Yeah, that's crazy. I'm glad.
This is our first win. Yeah, it's And I didn't see the first, I think, three games, but we watched the last two, my husband and I. And so he's a huge Rangers fan.
Right.
They were pretty exciting games, too.
Yeah. I bet he's thrilled.
Absolutely.
Can you share a little bit about, like, how did you decide to get into this whole working in the talent space?
Yeah, I kind of fell into it. So when I graduated college, I have two older brothers and they lived in Texas and I went to school at Oklahoma State University. And so after graduating, they were already in their careers and they said, "Hey, why don't we start our own company? Let's do this." So we did that. We created Millennium Consulting Solutions, which was kind of an agency style. You know, and it was everything from opening a company to selling and finding customers and then staffing the positions that we got with from those customers. I was the VP of operations. I was a salesperson. I was a recruiter. You name it. I kind of did it all. And we did that successfully for a year. And then we all decided, hey, let's go do our own thing. And my brothers, you know, one's a COBOL developer. The other was a sales guy. And I was like, you know what? I like this. This is awesome. I'm enjoying the recruiting. So I found another agency and that's where I did the split desk sales and recruiting for a bit, but really learned that for me, I loved the recruiting. I mean, to me, there's nothing better as a recruiter than giving an offer to a candidate. And if that offer's on a Friday and they say yes, it's like you have the best weekend ever after that. It's such a good feeling. And I guess got addicted to that feeling and I continue to pursue it as a career.
Yeah, I can definitely relate. I started with no experience as a technical recruiter and had a really great training
program just sort of get me up to speed on sort of understanding the difference between COBOL. COBOL is such an old language. and just sort of understanding enough. But I really enjoyed it too. Plus, I was able to work on a team. And so the team was sort of geographically dispersed. So they weren't all working on the same things. So it was great when they rang the bell for someone else, because it motivated me to keep working harder. But I get what you said about Friday. Friday is always a good day to offer and get an acceptance. So hopefully you get a couple of those today, since it's Friday.
Well, yeah. I'm not really in the role anymore of extending offers. So I have to live vicariously through the teams at this point.
Yeah, me too. Me too. So I understand. I wanted to go back a little bit, because you talked about the proactive sourcing that you were doing predominantly for technical roles. And you brought up the term personas, and I'm not sure if that's something that a lot of listeners are familiar with, but I wanted to see if you could like talk a little bit about what are personas.
Sure. So a persona is kind of your ideal candidate, and it's not specific to a role. It could be a lot of different criteria can make up a persona. So for us, when we look at a persona, we have different persona types, one being alumni. So for us, the alumni is one type of persona, and we look at them as anyone who was a prior employee of Amdocs, even contractors. And that could be across, you know, we actually segment them by alumni and country or region. So a little bit less about their technical skills or anything else. They're just a former employee of the company. Another persona for us would be what we would call early professionals. So these are the individuals with like 0 to 6 years of experience, but we do segment them further by their field of work. So for example, corporate functions is the field of work, which includes finance and HR and, you know, a few other things, procurement and stuff like that. So we segment those together, because the type of content that we would deliver to them is going to be somewhat different than what we would deliver to the early professionals of R&D and engineering. So the R&D and engineering group, they're very interested, obviously, in the technical space. And so they want to hear from us about things that are more interesting and very technical. Now, we don't segment further than that. So I'll give you an example of software testers and software developers. They're different jobs, different job functions, but we have found that the type of content they consume and what they're interested in is the same. So when we look at the personas, you're looking at, sometimes it can be, you know, the location of where someone is. It can be the type of background that they have. So in one case, the alumni versus early professional. And it helps you to determine what's your tone of voice. How are you going to speak to this audience? And the audience is different based upon their persona. So someone who's an alumni, I can speak to in a more caring way, a little more familiar way. Someone who's early professional, I can speak to, think that they're, you know, millennials or Gen Z. So I can be a little bit more relaxed in my tone, maybe use emojis and things of that nature.
Sure.
Versus a senior specialist who's, you know, 6 years to 15 years, they're going to be a little more senior in their experience, millennial and Gen X. So you want to use potentially a different tone of voice. So that's how we have segmented our talent communities. And when you look at personas, it can be different for different companies, but you know, just think about what are their interests, what type of content would they want to consume, how do you engage with them, and that can help you develop personas.
Yeah, that's great stuff there, because what you're effectively saying when you say we're going to segment and use personas is that it's not a one size fits all. It's, you know, you're catering to the individuals. And I think that probably provides a much better experience to the folks on the other end. Have you guys gotten any like feedback from actual candidates on this?
No, not yet. That is one of the next things we're looking to do is implement surveys. It's sure. actually in our work plan. So we have not done that yet. We're 6 months since our go live of our new tool and all of these changes that we just implemented. And we have seen improvement in a lot of areas, our from our website to everything else, but we have not actually done that survey yet.
Yeah, I think the survey results you're going to get are going to be really positive, because when I look at like consumer experiences where they haven't tried to go ahead and send the same message to every single mm-hmm. person, but they've actually catered it and spent a little time and work on that, then, you can tell as the end user, you can definitely tell. So
I can tell you that we are tracking all of our campaigns and the open rates and the click-through rates and everything of that nature. And our global average across all the personas, our open rate is averaging 56%, which is amazing. So we're seeing that the content we're sending is being received well. It would be a good way to put it.
Yeah, because if people aren't opening it, they're not reading it.
So right.
You have, and some of these are probably cold outreach. Alumni aren't cold, but it's a bit warmer. But mm-hmm. yeah, a greater than 50% open rate overall is like, huge.
And I think, we found there's a site called influencermarketinghub.com, and they mm-hmm. have benchmarks, marketing benchmarks. And so the benchmark for an open rate, and again, this is across all industries, but coming from a marketing perspective, that benchmark is 17.8%. So we're well above.
Yeah. I always tell my team members, like when they're getting open rates above 20%, I'm like, that's like really great. I know mm-hmm. it's not, I know you're 100%, but 20% for a cold message is pretty good. So great. So is there a challenge that you've had with some aspect of the candidate experience, and how you guys met that challenge?
Yes. One of the challenges we faced prior to this go live date in mid-April with our prior website and application process was a high dropout rate of the applicants who began their application and then didn't complete it. Mm-hmm. So the completion rate was 42% previously. So how we were able to change that was part of this, new platform that we implemented. It's an AI talent acquisition platform, but that also gave us the CRM capabilities that we kind of touched on before.
Mm-hmm.
And this platform was also an improved career site that the application process is super easy. And, the candidate is able to just take their resume and drop it there's literally a field where you drop it in. And then it helps to create your profile and will match you to the open positions. You're always able to still go do a regular search, but the AI matching you from your skills to the skills of open positions, it's super fast and easy, and it's been a game changer. So that completion ratio or that completion rate has jumped to 90% average.
Wow. So you've basically doubled your completion rate.
Correct. And it's so super easy. I don't know why anybody doesn't now go change the process to see, right. Because that there's a lot of dropouts and that's painful. Your teams are working so hard. You have your job descriptions, you're looking for the candidates, you want them to apply, and you see more than half of them are dropping. Well, you got to fix it. What do you need to do to fix that? So that's one of the things that we were able to resolve.
Yeah. I mean, that's a great tip. I always suggest to companies, because they're like, we don't have any money or budget to do any whatever. And I'm like, well, it doesn't take any time to go ahead and just do a test apply, see how long, mm-hmm. and get out your timer on your phone to see how long does this actually take. And the drop off is directly correlated with the time it takes. So mm-hmm. if you're making it a long, complex process, then you should expect it to take longer. So yeah, that's great stuff. Victoria, how do you talk with hiring managers about the importance of a good candidate experience?
It's a good question. I think the first thing to do is just remind them that it's another human at the other side of the process. It's not just a resume. It's not just a number. You know, it's a person. And remind them what it was like when they were looking for a job the last time. So once you humanize it, that's part of it. You know, it's kind of changing their mindset and helping them to think, okay, you're right. This is another person and I need to be cognizant of that. Now, on our side, because we're, you know, a tech company, a lot of the managers, they themselves were engineers. They were developers. And so one of the other things I have to, or I have had to remind them in the past, is that they need to do some of the basics, like introduce themselves, talk about their team, talk about why they love working at Amdocs. And it doesn't have to be super technical, just like how would you speak to a friend or a family member about your company and your job? What would you say? Okay, now tell that to the candidate, because that helps the candidate. One, you start to use, I've seen managers, they change from being, you know, kind of monotone and very technical. And then you ask them that question, tell me why you love working here. And they get animated and they show some life and they get excited. And I'm like, that's what candidates need to see. And so I think that's been a great way for them to, you know, kind of look at it from the candidate perspective and help them to open their eyes to, again, humanize it. It's a person, and show some, show that you are a person too, and that you have personality and why you love your company.
Yeah, that's a great question to answer. Like, why do you like working here? Well, let me count the ways. Like, here's, and I always try to tell folks, like, go, it's okay to say something you don't necessarily like, or you'd like to improve. Like, no one's perfect. And I think candidates appreciate that too. I like the humanizing thing.
Yeah. You know, I think, again, managers aren't always thinking that way. They're thinking, I have, you know, I'm on this interview and I need to fill my role. So let me immediately dig into asking all of these questions and confirming, do you fit? But you know, we understand as recruiters that there's a bit of a sale that's involved. You have to sell the company. You need to sell your team. You need, you know, like there's something else there. And so I think that's one of the things that you kind of have to teach or train managers. Maybe, you know, you could call it the elevator pitch, right? So that they can speak to the culture, their team, and the projects they work on. And I think that has helped to open some of our managers, you know, or helped them to do a better interview.
Yeah, I totally agree. The candidates are selling themselves. The company needs to continue to sell itself, answer the question why and what's in it for me, for the candidate. So, but I'm glad that you emphasize that, because, you know, I've seen it myself, like the managers like are stoic, or, you know, you use the term monotone, but I would say like stoic, and they're like, you know, it's not all about you. You need to make it about them, and really, you know, as you said, humanize.
Well, and we've done hiring manager interview training. A lot of that came out, you know, when we went into COVID and everything switched from face-to-face to virtual. And so we wanted them to give them the tips and tricks, right, about how to do a good interview virtually. But we took that opportunity to also help guide them in this area.
Gotcha. Victoria, is there one tip that you'd have for others on improving their company's candidate experience?
I think you have to take a step out of your process and look at it with fresh eyes. And just kind of, we were talking about humanizing it. Look through your process like you are the candidate. We touched on it a little bit before too. Like just going in and applying like you're a new candidate. What is that process like? And when you can put the candidate at the center of the process, then it can change how you view the process itself. And you might realize that you're doing some things great and that's wonderful and you want to continue to do those, but you will potentially identify areas that could be improved. And so I think as part of that, you also can give accolades and encouragement to your own team on where things are great and say, you're doing this so well here. Let's apply that to this other area that isn't doing so well. So again, it's about putting the candidate at the center of the process. Take a fresh look at your process. Sometimes it's good when you have someone new come in because they say, well, why are we doing it this way? You know, and those challenges are really, really good because it helps to break well, we've always done it like that. No, well, that's not a reason to continue. I guess it was more than one tip, a couple of tips I would give to somebody.
Yeah, I said one, but you know, I don't think anyone will complain about multiple. So yeah, I think you had great stuff to share overall. I appreciate this. If someone wanted to get a hold of you, how could they do so?
I am available on LinkedIn. So just search for Victoria Myers in Amdocs, and I'll be the only one there. I'm also on what was formerly Twitter, now called X. So Victoria underscore, it's not the full spelling of recruiter, it's RCRTR. So I post on Twitter as well.
Gotcha.
Or X, sorry.
Yes.
I'm still getting used to the new name.
I think everyone is. So I'll share those links as well in the notes below as well, so people can easily access that. So Victoria, I appreciate your time and your insights today.
Thank you so much, Chuck. I really appreciate the invitation to come and just talking to you is wonderful.
Thanks for listening to the Candidate Experience Podcast. You can reach out to us via our website, thecx.xyz. That's thecx.xyz.